feeling right. But darling, there ain't no getting over me. Well, you can say that you need to be free, but there ain't no place that I won't be. Sweet darling, there ain't no getting over me. Tell the boys no, don't you know? You can tell everyone that we're through, and you might even believe it too. But darling, there ain't no getting over me. Sweet darling, there ain't no getting over me.
ACB Radio Newsroom at www.acbradio.org. All the news, all the time. From the world's leading news organizations like CNN, the BBC, the New York Times, the Toronto Star, the Wall Street Journal, and more. That's all the news, all the time, in the ACB Radio Newsroom at www.acbradio.org.
When they're not broadcasting.
This is Steve Mazura.
Robin from the Aussie Kaleidoscope.
Living on the edge.
I'm Roger Cool.
The KJS Show.
Hi, this is Patrick Perdue from
the ACBRI DJs are hard at work creating personal web pages about their shows, the music they play, and even a bit about themselves.
Now we're accumulating these web pages into the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring, where you can learn more about the personalities behind the microphone. Go to www.acbradio.org, then choose the interactive link. From there, you can choose the link that will take you to the ACB Radio Interactive Broadcasters Web Ring.
ACB Radio.
Hello from a lovely early autumn afternoon here in New Zealand. This is Jonathan Mosen welcoming you to Blind Line, the original interactive talk show exclusively for the blind and vision impaired. It's nice to have you with us wherever in the world you're listening to us here on ACB Radio Mainstream. Well, my guest on the program today is a very special one. He's a man who's had 40 number one hits, can you believe that? And he's also won a number of Grammy Awards. Looking at all the research, I lost count of the number of Grammys that he has won. He's one of the most successful blind entertainers in the world. He's also interested in amateur radio and old-time radio and lots of other things as well. We might even get a chance to talk about the luscious hot dogs as well. Ronnie Millsap, welcome to ACB Radio.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you very much. And what a pleasure to be on your show. I'm a big fan of Blind Line and whenever I'm in Nashville on Sunday evening when we get it here, I always tune in every chance I get.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I guess that's not very often, though, because you're doing a lot of gigs, aren't you, especially with the album that you released back in June of last year, which is called 40 Number One Hits. Things are pretty busy for you right now.
Yes, things have been real busy, and that's good. Busy is always real good in the music business. But there are a lot of Sundays I do get to get back home and tune in ACB radio, because I love this radio station. And what you do with this radio station is absolutely brilliant. That's my opinion. From listening to all the different shows that are on, there's some really incredible shows, and especially like so many others, love Main Menu. I mean, if you're wanting to be on the leading edge of technology and find out what's going on for blind people, that is the show to listen to. So if I'm not home, I'll usually set a machine to record that. So I can listen to it when I do get home. But thanks, Jonathan, for having me on. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and I saw your email the other day when I wrote you, and you graciously sent me the URL to get SoundForge 5.0, which I did. I went up and downloaded that, and it installed just beautifully. But you mentioned that you might want to have me on the Blind Line. I said, that is great. So I'm glad to be here this evening. And in Nashville, actually, it's a little after 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Yeah, I had no idea that you were an ACB radio listener. And so when I got your email wanting the SoundForge URL, I thought, well, my cheekiness has got me into trouble before in life, so it can't get any worse. So I thought I'd write you back and say, hey, how about coming on Blind Line? And I was quite surprised to get your phone call.
Yeah, well, I was knocked out that you wanted to do that. And it's a real pleasure to be on, because I think when I was talking with you yesterday, and I probably, you know, guess you don't realize with all that you're doing with this radio station and then with computer technology and the technology for the blind generally in the different areas where you're working, and you're doing a tremendous amount of work. I think that sometimes you don't just realize how much impact that's having on a lot of people all around the world that are kind of finding out that blind people can do some of these things. And I certainly have followed computer technology for a long time, like so many other blind users. And I don't know, maybe because I'm in the music business, maybe this technology stuff is kind of like therapy, you know. Maybe this maybe it's my way of kind of getting away from the music business part of it, you know, occasionally from time to time. And I've always, you know, certainly, you know, been a more technical person, you know, as you mentioned, with as a ham radio operator, and just tinkering around with the technology. I think a lot of times I felt like that my work as a musician and as a record producer and all that, it's certainly my vocation and certainly what I love to do, but there's so much of my hobbies kind of wrapped up in that, because I love the recording technology anyway. I mean, we've all probably, people who are listening to the show right now, we've all probably started from playing around with tape recorders when we were growing up, or with radios, and we just kind of worked our way on to other things, and eventually we're all here on ACB radio. And it's just marvelous, this kind of technology that you can be anywhere in the world and tune into this. And what has happened, at least in my opinion, Jonathan, is it's made this community of blind people so much closer. And it's been a very positive step toward making life better for all of us.
I'd like to talk about growing up a little, if I might, because you didn't have an easy start in a number of respects, really, did you, when you were growing up? It was a traumatic business from the point of view of your family situation, and you weren't born into wealth by any means.
That's right. I grew up in the Smoky Mountains, the early part of my life, Smoky Mountains of western North Carolina, right up against East Tennessee, in a small town called Robbinsville, North Carolina.
And when you were growing up, I understand that the whole question of the reason for your blindness was something that had a dramatic impact on where you grew up and your whole family circumstances. Your mother, I understand, found it very difficult to take.
Yes, my mother felt that having a blind child was kind of a punishment from God, and perverse religious teachings in Appalachia at that time were very prevalent. It seemed that a lot of the mountain people, really were of a certain faith, which I'm certainly not knocking that. But I felt that it, at least what I was told, is she was really uncomfortable, my mother. So I wound up growing up with my grandparents, my grandmother and my grandfather, and until I was sent to the state school for the blind in Raleigh when I was six, and that was quite a distance away from the mountains of western North Carolina, where I was listening to Flat and Scruggs and Bill Monroe and the Stanley Brothers, and being introduced to music by things that I was hearing on the radio. We had an old battery radio with a big battery, the 90-volt battery, an old tube set that we could have right there in the living room. And certainly early on, I learned how to take it apart, put it back together, and how to tune in WSM in Nashville and WNOX over in Knoxville, and WWVA out of Wheeling, West Virginia, and got to hearing what they were broadcasting on those stations, which was basically very country music, and that was very much in tune with what I was hearing people, live musicians, play in the Smoky Mountains. And when I went to Raleigh to school at the State School for the Blind, they didn't know anything about Flat and Scruggs and Bill Monroe. At 400 miles away to Raleigh was a real culture change. They taught Mozart, Bach, and Beethoven, and Liszt, and Brahms, and all the classical composers. And early on, I got into the music department at the State School for the Blind in Raleigh. And I remember I was 7 years old, and they called from the principal's office, and they said, "Will the following people report for violin classes?" So it was one of those things. They just selected students, and they found out, could they do it? Did they have a talent, an aptitude for music? And so they discovered early on that I did.
Was that a bit difficult, though, because presumably they wanted you to play classical violin, and you probably wanted to play the fiddle, right?
I sure did. I knew what a fiddle was. I wasn't sure what a violin was, and I remember early on in the practice room when I was supposed to be practicing my violin, I started playing the riffs that I'd heard on Lefty Frizzell records and Webb Pierce records, and certainly all those Tommy Jackson fiddle tunes. So I still, I guess I did take the knowledge and the teaching that my violin teacher provided for me, and he was an incredible teacher. But I did just, go ahead, and after I learned to play, I certainly did move on and learn to play all those great fiddle tunes. And then, from that piano, I had 10 years of classical piano there at the school in Raleigh. And that school, I guess, Jonathan, really is what changed my life, because it academically at that time was one of the strongest residential schools for the blind in the United States. So they had wonderful teachers, and this music department that I mentioned was just phenomenal. It was incredible what we were able to learn. And that school, I guess, you know, from there I was trying to decide, you know, what I wanted to do. Did I want to take my counselor's advice and go on to college and become, involved somehow academically in the world and pursue that kind of a career? And I certainly had interest in that, no doubt. But I love music so much, and everybody said, don't do that, because there's no way in the world you'll be able to make a living as a musician. You know, you'll wind up out on the street, and you'll be a liability of the state, and you need something that's more solid. And you know, they were right. They absolutely were giving me the exactly right advice that they should have been giving me. So I went on to college. I thought, well, I know they're right. As much as I love music, and that's where my heart is, and I really believe that I could make it in the music business, I need to go ahead and go on to college. So a lot of my family was in Western North Carolina, and I wanted to go to college near them rather than going to the University of North Carolina. I wanted to be somewhere near the folks over in Western Carolina. So I went to a college and right over there adjacent to right across the line into Georgia. There's a college over there called Young Harris Junior College, and it's in North Georgia. So I went there for a couple of years with the idea that I would start there and then go on to Emory and study law. Oh, thank goodness I didn't do that, because there's certainly enough lawyers in the world, and I don't think I would, you know, have done that well as a lawyer.
Well, come back and talk about some
academically. I made great grades, though. I made really good grades in college. I met several people. There's one person in college, I guess I will mention right here, that was my political science teacher. And I was, you know, if anybody would have probably persuaded me to go on to law school, it would have been this gentleman. But he's a guy named Zell Miller, who eventually became the governor of Georgia for two terms, and he finished those, and now he's the junior senator from Georgia. Last November, just won the Senate seat, and incredible guy, one of those people that just really. For some reason, you know, you can be around some folks and they just inspire you to learn so much. So I almost would have stayed in college because of meeting somebody like that. But I decided on the weekends to go down to Atlanta, and I started hanging out around some nightclubs, and I'd met some people in Atlanta at some of the radio stations and some other fellow musicians, and I started sitting in at this one particular nightclub in Atlanta called the Royal Peacock, and I met some folks like Jackie Wilson and Benny King, who was famous for songs like Stand By Me and I Who Have Nothing and a lot of those great songs, and Inez and Charlie Fox, and met Stevie Wonder at that time when he was, I guess, 13. Way out Fingertips when that record was out.
Yeah.
And a lot of folks, you know, when they heard me sit in with the band and all, they said, you really need to give it a shot in the music business. So I left college and I stayed in Atlanta and met the lady that's my wife, Joyce. We moved to Memphis and eventually on to Nashville. We moved here in late 1972, but that's kind of a capsule of, you know, where I've come from and, you know, why I'm in Nashville.
Mm.
how I got to Nashville.
We're speaking with Ronnie Millsap, and we already have a call which we'll come to in just a second. If you would like to join us, courtesy of spiderphone.com, you can phone in and speak with Ronnie. The area code is 212 in the United States, 212-812-2800. And then when you're asked to enter a PIN, you should enter 0480-5512. That PIN, courtesy of spiderphone.com, is 0480-5512. And you'll also find it in the title bar of your window of the player that you're listening in. Let's go and take this call. Hello, you're on Blind Line. Hello there. Speak to me. Okay, well, obviously that caller's not going to speak to me. Let me ask you about the School for the Blind a little bit more, because I understand that really it was a bit of a traumatic thing in a number of respects, particularly with regard to discipline. I understand they were quite strict disciplinarians, and that, that was a bit of an adjustment, something you found quite difficult.
Yeah, they were. To have such a shining positive outlook on, you know, for school during the day, and I have such great academic teachers who were really just wonderful. House parents, that's where they just couldn't find the right people, you know, to work for the state of North Carolina to do that kind of job, because the house parents were pretty mean. So, yeah, the students, we were all living on campus. You know, and there's a lot of us listening to ACB radio right now that went through a blind school situation. It's very similar. You're on campus and you got great things going on during the day, but when you go back to the dormitory, sometimes they're just a little bit too harsh. They beat the kids up, you know, and if they say the wrong thing, and that's all right. When you're a small child, you can't do anything about that, but I guess we all lived through it, you know, Jonathan.
Yeah, well, is it something you feel a little bit bitter about? I mean, do you feel it did any long term damage to the way you feel about the School for the Blind or about life in general?
No, I feel very positive about all that. I think it's just the way things were at that time. I mean, there's a different feeling about corporal punishment, you know, in the 50s than there is now. And I think that's generally what it is. I mean, folks just, it was just generally, you know, spankings and slappings and all that was a little bit more accepted, back then. And probably that happened to a lot of people. And I gotta say that whole experience at the State School for the Blind in Raleigh, I came out of there being ready, you know, and being trained to go on in life. And I don't have anything but good on all those people, all positive things to say about that whole experience, because I certainly would have never been able to have any kind of success in life. I mean, if I'd been back in the Smoky Mountains growing up, Jonathan, I would never have had a chance as a blind child over there in the Smokies. Growing up, what would I do? Maybe I'd work in a sawmill, or I don't know. I certainly wouldn't be doing what I do today, you know, without the influence that School for the Blind had on me.
All right, let's see if this call will talk to us. Hello, this is Blind Line.
Hello?
Hi there, you're on the air.
Am I? Jonathan?
Yeah.
Jonathan? Hi, it's Pam, the one who always forgets to unblock my ID. One of these days I'll remember that.
Well, we'll forgive you, Pam. How are you?
Hello, Pam.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you? You know, I just might mention that as an aside, I was mainstreamed, went to public school my whole life, but I heard so many tales of mean house parents. Florida, same thing. New York, same thing. I don't know why that was, but that seemed to almost have been endemic.
Yeah, that's kind of the common denominator in all those schools for the blind, it seems like.
Well, I'm so glad I'm getting to speak to you, and I didn't want to let the program go by without relating a story. I'll try to do it fairly quickly. But my closest friend for many years back in New York City. He's no longer with us now. Lady by the name of Ricky McClellan, who ran the store at the American Foundation for the Blind.
Ah.
Told of this very, very nice young man who came into the store one day, and it was lunchtime, and she was on her own, and she was showing him these various items, and he was buying this, and he was buying this, and he was buying that, and he was with two ladies, I believe. And finally, and I can hear her saying this, finally she said, "Here, how are you going to get all this stuff home?" And he said, "Well, ma'am, it's okay." Oh, and every time somebody else would need help, the young man would say, "Go ahead, ma'am, I've got time." She would wait on somebody else and come back. When he finally, she finally said, "How are you going to get all this things home?" He said, "Well, my wife is in the corner." "Oh, who are you?" He said, "I'm Ronnie Nelson."
Well, I sure love to go and, you know, look at all that. I'm sure I brought it all home. I'm sure I did bring it all home.
Yeah, but she was so impressed with the fact that you just walked in there and bought your, I asked to see and bought your items, and your mother and I think your wife and your mother-in-law were with you. And she said not until she questioned how on earth you were going to carry all that out of the store did you even mention who you were.
Yeah, well, that's...
just the kindest, nicest young man.
Well, that's great, Pam.
Oh, I remember that story.
Where are you? Are you in Washington or California?
I'm in California.
California. I have heard you on several times here on ACB.
Yeah, sure you have.
Yeah.
I was in New York at the time. What, honey? Are you still a licensed ham? Are you still a licensed amateur?
Sorry, Pam?
Are you still a licensed amateur operator?
Yes, I am. I certainly am. I'm WB4KCG.
WB4KCG.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll tell you what, their call's backing up, so I need to let you go. But I just thank you, and I want to thank you on behalf of Ricky for being such a lovely, lovely and...
Oh, that's a great story, Pam, and it's great talking with you this evening. And
thanks a million.
Have a good one out there.
You
thanks,
too,
Pam.
Honey.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Now, just a reminder to use the correct PIN number, because if you use the wrong one, we can't take you to air. The number is area code 212-812-2800. We've had a couple of people using the wrong PIN. It is 0480-5512. That PIN again, courtesy of spiderphone.com, is 0480-5512. If you would like to speak with Ronnie Millsap, who is our special guest today on Blindline here on ACB Radio Mainstream. And let's take this call, who has used the right PIN number. Hello to area code 314.
I'm calling from St. Louis.
Yeah.
Lucky
Ronnie,
you.
My name is Naomi. Excuse me. my name is Naomi, and I have some questions, some music-related questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. I'm a real big John Hiatt fan, and I noticed that you have done some John Hiatt songs, and I was wondering how you, if you have met him, and I'd also like to know what types of music you're listening to now, and in the future, would you ever consider doing a straight-up more... let's say blues album or a little bit more R&B related album?
Oh, yeah, I would. And as far as John Hiatt, what an incredible guy.
Oh, he's such a nice guy, too.
He is a nice man. He's one of those kind of people as a musician. Jonathan, is, you know, musicians get together. Sometimes there's instant chemistry, and then sometimes it takes a while to develop that. But this guy is just, you know, you get around him and it feels like you've been around him all your life. That he has that that way about him. But
I know. When I met him, I used to be in commercial radio, and when I met him the first time, you know, I just shook his hand and you just get this, you know, real warmth. He's just a really nice guy.
Yeah, great working with him in the studio. A tremendous guitar player, and he's got you know, all the instincts of a fine musician, and no doubt in that. I guess I have worked around in different areas of the music business. I've had more success as an artist in mainstream country music, but I've done a lot of different directions, and I certainly would entertain the idea of, you know, and we've looked at different opportunities for doing different types of albums, and you know, an R&B. I guess the first chart hit that I had was an R&B record, and that goes back, my goodness, so long ago that I don't know if anybody would remember. But before I came to Nashville, I did work in R&B quite a bit, and tried to make it actually in R&B, because a lot of folks, when they first heard my earlier records, they thought I was a black entertainer, which I felt like was very complimentary. I mean, because that's the kind of music I was trying to do, is the things I love to hear. But whether it's blues or jazz, I'm, you know, we're always open to trying different things.
And my other question that I'd ask you is, what are you listening to now? If you were to pick, let's say, three CDs that you're listening to, you know,
what are
your favorites
to
right
now,
what would you choose? Or what would you say you're listening to?
What are we listening to now around here? I listen to ACB radio a lot.
Quite right, too.
And I guess it ought to be some CD that'll play on my Daisy player. I don't know. I've got, you know, CD jukeboxes with a lot of things that are online, and I certainly, I mean, I love mainstream country. What's going on in there? There's a new generation that's making their own kind of country music right now, and they have the input into what's going on. And I know maybe a lot of us they don't feel that maybe it's exactly the same kind of country that it used to be. It's not, but everything moves on and changes, and that's just the way it is. And whoever wants to be involved in that, it doesn't matter. You just got to have a great record, you know, to get in there now. But what else we listen to around here? Somebody bought Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, the soundtrack from that. I like that a lot. What else we got over here? Shelby Lynn, I love her latest CD. I was glad to see that she had won a Grammy finally. It's about time, and she's been in Nashville a long time and actually had to leave Nashville and go to L.A. and make it in pop music.
I know, the best new artist, and she has about 5 albums out.
Yeah, exactly. But
That's it. Well, thank you very much for talking.
Naomi, it's my pleasure, and you have a good evening over there near St. Louis.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Naomi. ACB Radio Mainstream, the calls are stacking up. We'll get to them in a minute. But I wanted to talk to you about your comments about new country, because there is a perception that, in fact, you started that trend, that you almost single-handedly was the person who took country into the mainstream with the kind of crossover stuff that you were doing, particularly in the late 70s or so. Do you accept some responsibility for taking country to where it is now, starting that process?
Yeah, I think so, Jonathan. I think so, and I always felt that at that time we could not sell enough numbers in the country format. So we needed to find some way to increase sales, and I was told by different people at the record company, if you can make records that we can get into multi-format, maybe we can get them, you know, heard at Top 40 radio, or we can get them heard at Adult Contemporary radio, then we can find a way to spread this a little bit. So that's what we did. I made records in my studio on Music Row that actually, I guess, stretched country, and occasionally, you know, the radio, especially with a song like Stranger in My House, when I went to radio with that, there was some resistance, because they said, that's, you know, that guitar solo's got to go. You got to find a way to edit that out, because it's too reminiscent of you know, too much rock and roll, Led Zeppelin or whatever. And I think, well, that's, you know, we're just moving country music, you know, along to today's generation. And I've got to say, I was happy for all the success and all the crossover. And crossover was almost a despised term back then, and it certainly is today. But it's interesting that in today's country music market, you do not have to get outside the format to sell millions of units. You know, with there have been several artists that sell, you know, 10 million units and never get outside the format. But that was not the way it was 20 years ago. And in order to generate some bigger sales, we had to get outside the format. We had to get into the crossover side. And there were some people said that, well, you know, you're not paying enough respect to traditional country music. You need to stay inside the box, inside the format. But I've never been able to do that.
I suppose that to a lesser extent, what went on with you and country music is a bit like what went on with Bob Dylan and the folk purists when Bob Dylan had the audacity to go on stage playing electric guitar. It's a bit like that in a different kind of way.
That's interesting, Jonathan. That's interesting. You're right. But you have to find new ways, new packaging, and new ways to reinvent yourself in the music business, because it is the music business, and if you are musical and if you're talented, that's one thing. But the other part of it is the business part of it. You need some people around you who are talented. Your manager, your agents, your PR people, and all the other folks that make up a team. And you've got to continue to find new ways to do something that you haven't done before, because folks will say, you know, I love hearing certain records. And even at radio, they used to say, well, we loved Lost in the 50s Tonight or Happy Happy Birthday Baby or any of those other remakes. And they said, but you know, when are you going to do something else? Or, you know, we did Button Off My Shirt, which was a machine record, a lot of technically a really fun record to make. The country said, that's too far, we can't play that, you know, it's just way over the edge. But today, those kind of things aren't even they aren't thought of at all as being unusual. You know, the things that Mutt Lange, as one of the great producers of today, has taken what you can do with technology and kind of reminds me of Mutt Lange. You know, he kind of reminds me of you, Jonathan, because you're kind of like the Mutt Lange of what's going on here in the blindness community, because you know the tricks and the things that a lot of people just don't know about.
Well, I think I know the trick about how to blow up the Spiderphone switchboard, and that's to get Ronnie Millsap on the air, because the calls are coming in and it's probably going to fry. So let me take this one. You're listening to, you're speaking with Ronnie Millsap. Hello there.
Hello, Ronnie. This is Larry. How are you?
Hey, Larry.
Just had to call you. I had to say hello to you.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm at home listening to you on Real Player.
I can speak to my company.
Larry McCreary?
You're right.
Oh, my goodness. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man.
Oh, my goodness. What a joy.
I just had to say hello to you.
I sure do appreciate that. You and Judy doing great.
Doing great. And Judy says hello also.
Oh, give her our love, man.
Well, we haven't talked to you. It's been a long time since I used to talk to you on 40 meters, so just wanted to say hello.
No, I think this is really cool. And it's interesting. I know that you and I both love all this, the new technology. Larry's from over near Winston-Salem, Jonathan, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and one of my dear friends that I went to school with in Raleigh.
And you're right about Jonathan. He does do excellent work. I always enjoy Main Menu, and I certainly second that emotion. It's a real fantastic radio station. It's great.
It's just, if you want to know the leading edge of anything, and what knocked me out is that, you know, that SoundForge 5.0.
Yeah, I've been doing that too. It's great. I enjoy the
lead. I wound up, unfortunately, I think I said that this technology may be some therapy for me, because if I find myself, I can't find a great song or I can't write something, I can always do some of this, you know, playing with the computers, and it kind of takes my mind off that and helps me out a little bit. I made the mistake of getting into Windows 2000, and probably not the greatest choice that I could have made.
I got a reaction from Jonathan.
but I wanted to get some hardware for 24-bit, and as an engineer down here in Nashville, one of the studios, it said, Ronnie, you know, for what you're wanting to do, get your machine with 2000 on it. Well, I've done that, but as there are a lot of things that it's a harder operating system.
Why have you seen the Braille note?
You know, I heard Jonathan Mosen talking about that, and when he said one thing, when he said, Larry, that on these Braille notes that we're going to be able to surf the web, and we're going to be able to, you know, we're going to be able to have a player, some kind of a player in there, whether it's Winamp or whatever. It runs on at least a modern operating system. So I've got to say, I have not actually had hands on one.
You should take a look.
I'm on their support list or their listserv where folks are talking about it. But what do you think about it, Larry?
I like it, and I'm looking forward to Jonathan's review.
Coming up this week.
I'm looking forward to it.
The speech is, what is that? A keynote goal? Is that what the speech is?
That's what it is. Yep, the keynote
speech on the Braille note.
Yeah, it's the keynote gold multimedia speech, a special version written for the Windows CE operating system.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's a big speech when you have the Braille. I hardly use the speech at all.
Yeah. Okay. And it's so I'm still stuck over here with my Braille Act 40 then.
that's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
It is a good one.
It is.
I don't want to monopolize the show. I just want to say hello to you. If you get a chance, drop me some emails sometime.
Thank you, buddy. I surely will, Larry.
You still have my address.
Take care, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you for your kind comments. Bye bye now. Okay, this is Blind Line. We're speaking with Ronnie Millsap, and we say good evening to area code 513. You're on the air.
Okay, well, hello, Jonathan, and hello, Ronnie. This is Deborah Kendrick in Cincinnati.
My goodness.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you, Deborah?
Larry certainly provided a great segue for my question.
I definitely better wait. The last two people that have called in, he has known them.
Well, I didn't know that he knew me. I'm thrilled.
Oh, I absolutely do.
For 15 years of editing Tactic, I was so proud that you were on our mailing list. And so my question, first of all, was, are you subscribing to our new generation from the American Foundation for the Blind, which is Access World? And you're obviously not, because we reviewed the Braille note in November.
Oh.
You should be subscribing to our magazine. And we too, Jay Leventhal and I, who's the editor of Access World, we reviewed the Braille note together, and we had such a marvelous time doing that. It's a wonderful device.
Oh, that's great, Deborah. You're a tremendous editor. You've done some wonderful articles, and I've been a fan of yours for a long, long time. I don't know. Is Access World, is that...
Tactic was purchased by the American Foundation for the Blind. And then we launched Access World as a team. And it's kind of a next generation Tactic. It's wonderful because instead of doing it all alone as I did Tactic, there are five or six of us working on it. And you can get it by going to the AFB website, or you could send me some email. That would be great at dkk@afb.net.
Okay.
I'm so thrilled that you recognize my name. I had such a thrill probably, 10 years ago now. You did a concert in Cincinnati, and I'm a columnist for several newspapers, and I got an assignment to go cover your concert. And I will never forget it. The whole thing was described to me, and for anyone listening who has never seen a Ronnie Millsap concert, his gymnastic ability is remarkable and can only be appreciated by a blind person when described by someone else. It was remarkable. His jumping on and off the piano and dancing with a variety of women and just all sorts of physical maneuvers to keep the visual element of the concert going. It was followed by Kenny Rogers, and by comparison, we thought he was boring. you were just so wonderful, and I was so thrilled to have that opportunity to write about that.
Well, bless you. I first heard about you from Chris Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Chris was probably my mentor and inspiration in getting into Braille devices.
Yeah, mine too.
And he said, Ronnie, you've got to check this magazine called Tactic. You've got to check. So that's how I was introduced to Tactic and to you and your work.
Oh.
I've
never written a review of it, but I'm sort of a blind autobiography geek. You know, I have to get hold of them and read them all and compare. And yours, Almost Like a Song, was absolutely the best I've ever read. I loved it so much. And I'd recommend that to everyone listening, too, even if you don't like country music, which I do. But it's just such a wonderfully honest story, and I just enjoyed it so much.
Well, thank you. I actually got all those into the computer, and I guess I'm working with Tom Carter, a friend of mine here in Nashville, who's written a lot of biographies for different country artists. Written five new chapters, and I guess we're going to re-release this book.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, when you bring those chapters into a modern program like Microsoft Word, and you do spell check, and it was amazing from the original book how many misspelled words there were. which is, you know, it was just appalling and terribly humiliating in some ways to realize that actually McGraw-Hill printed it and with all those misspelled words in it.
And it's so wonderful, though, isn't it, that we can see it for ourselves now?
Absolutely. It's
So what kind of technology are you using these days? You said Windows 2000. That's too bad. But are you?
Yeah. Any words of encouragement? Can you actually get to? I guess you can actually get through the learning curve on 2000, or maybe.
Well, I just upgraded to 98 a few months ago. I came kicking and screaming into the whole Windows environment. So.
Well, the 98 is, Emma. That's a very friendly operating system.
Yeah, it is. I like it very much. I do want to clarify though with the Braille Note. It's not, in my understanding, it's not ready for web surfing yet. You're better to do that with a Braille display and a desktop computer, an Internet Explorer.
Yeah, but you would think with upgrading of processors speed and upgrading of the Braille Note, it certainly sounds within the realm of possibility that from that device you really could surf the web.
What it was able to do when Jay and I reviewed it, we reviewed it in September and the article ran in November, it was then able to do email, and that feature was wonderful. It was just so neat to hook this little note taker up to a phone line and in really very short time, following the instructions that are right in the unit, hooking up to email and downloading it from anywhere. And the Microsoft project that was alluded to is it's Microsoft Reader, which isn't up and running yet, but will allow us to read e-books on the Braille Note.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can do that now with your Braille Lite 40, right, by downloading them from Web Braille?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Must move on, Deborah, because we've got a board full of calls, but I appreciate you calling in.
Okay, send me some email, Ronnie.
I will, Deborah. I've written it down, and I certainly will.
Great to talk to you.
Pleasure to talk with you this evening.
Keep it up, Jonathan.
Okay, bye-bye now. We're speaking with Ronnie Millsap, and I would like to ask people to please come to the point and ask poignant questions, because it's just a little unfair to all of the people waiting, and there are a huge number. Hello, you're on the air.
Jonathan.
Yes, indeed.
And this is Richard.
Can he hear loud and clear? Do you have a question?
Can you hear me?
Richard?
Yes.
Hi, this is Ronnie.
Oh, Ronnie.
Where are you, man?
I'm in Austin, Texas.
Oh, good.
Listen, you know, I remember one time when you were in Detroit playing their country festival the week that they had for country artists.
Uh-huh.
It was a real rainy Friday. This is about 12 years ago. You were the last on the list of performers. And
I'm sorry, Richard, just hang on with me there. You had actually entered the wrong PIN number before when you dialed in, and now I've just accidentally done something dreadful to you. Just hang on a second. We'll get to you. We can just find you. But it does help if people enter the correct PIN. I don't seem to be able to get him back. Wonderful when it works, isn't it?
I'm here.
Okay, you're back with us, Richard?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Okay.
We played the show in Detroit. And
it was rainy, and the people were out there dancing under their umbrellas. It was really, you killed them there.
That's cool.
But I've got a question. You listen to ACB radio I guess you enjoy it.
I love it.
Maybe someday we can get you to come to one of our conventions as we take it all over the country.
Absolutely. I always seem to have, at that time in either like late June and early July, because I'm not sure when the convention is.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that always seems to be, for some reason, I'm always scheduled to be somewhere, to do a show. But I absolutely would love to come. And thank you. Where is it this year?
We're going to be in Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh.
And then in 2002, we'll be down here in Houston, Texas.
Oh, my goodness. Well, those are going to be some good conventions, I guarantee you.
I was going to ask you, are you doing anything new in terms of things that are going to be released, like albums?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody's always working on some new project. I'm not sure exactly what's going to survive to be released on record, but I guess within the next 2 or 3 months we'll find out, won't we?
I was talking to someone you might know down here, Don Wilser, the yodeler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was saying that you're probably one of the only people that still does country music, somewhat like the way it's supposed to be done.
Well, I guess I get to looking at artists that that they're looking. The one artist I think that I would probably say, if I had any way to emulate what she did, is be somebody who was able to do country, was able to do pop, was able to do rock and roll, is Linda Ronstadt. Now, when she did country, it was the way it should be done. When she was a rock singer, it was totally right there. And when she did the work with Nelson Riddle, is totally different. So I think those separate careers, that's kind of what I'm looking at.
She's actually also done the Pirates of Penzance. She's a fully trained opera singer.
Exactly, exactly. So, I think a lot of folks, when you've done a lot in one particular area, I think you have to look at something else. And it doesn't mean that you won't come back. It's like, recording new albums. I've certainly got a recording project that I'm working on that is a country project, but I have a couple of other projects that I'm working on as well, and I don't know which one actually will be the one that we're going to go chasing.
Well, we're always looking to see what's on the shelves for Marty, at least I am.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate the call.
For talking to me.
Thank you, Richard.
Bye. See you, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Okay, now I think we have a call from 502. Are you there? No, you are not. That's all right. Let's move on here. We've got so many calls. I've never seen anything like this. We're speaking with Ronnie Millsap, and we're going to go to area code 407 that seems to be next in the queue. Hello there. 407, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Just speaking with Ronnie Millsap.
Yes, Ronnie, this is Joey Weston from about 11 years ago. I met you down in Daytona at the concert at Oak Hill back in 90.
Oh, my goodness.
Long time.
Yes, sir.
Did you keep the letter that I filed? I assume you did.
Oh, I'm sure I did. Is this Joey?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure, absolutely. I have.
Because a lot has happened since then. I was curious, I was curious. I noticed that you sound different when you sing than when you talk. How do they manage that? You sound so much different. I don't quite know how to describe it. It's not you. You sound so different when you sing and when you talk.
Well, I don't know. I guess that's the, you know, it's the whole commercial thing of a certain presentation for records, and you know, there are certain albums that folks will mention, well, you sound different on this album than you did when you...
I mean, even at the concerts, both of them, even, you know, just seeing you live twice, which I have to thank you. I'm sure I did 10 years ago, but I'll do it again. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me. I was in seventh grade at the time, or going into seventh grade, when I met you. And I remember you had spent about 45 minutes each, 30 to 45 minutes, both shows, talking with me between shows about blindness and the fact of how depressed I was. Which I must say I've come a long way since then. 23 years old. I better have come a long way since then. But thank you for taking the time.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
I remember my grandfather had bought the letter to security, to your security agent, and told him that I wanted to meet you. And at first they weren't sure, and then, well, eventually it happened. So it was a very wonderful experience. I wrote a speech on it for an English class. Of course, I misspelled your name. but, yeah, that was my basic question was, you know, get acquainted or get reacquainted sort of thing, since obviously you seem to know several people that you've talked to in the last few minutes. And so I was just wanting to say hello again after 10 or 11 years. Actually, it's been 11 years. It'll be 11 years in June, I believe.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Joey, and thanks very much for doing that. We'll hope you keep listening.
Oh, Jonathan, before
I'm sorry,
I go,
we've really got to move on. Hello there. We're speaking with Ronnie Millsap.
I can't
go with. Hello, thank you for waiting. Maybe they didn't wait. Hello there. All right, let's go and see. We'll just try and make sure that everybody's answered in the order that they called in, which is actually getting increasingly difficult, but we'll do our best here. Let's try this one here. No number identified. Hello there. You're speaking with Ronnie Millsap. Do you have a question?
Yes. I'd like to know how you feel about the general attitudes of blind people today as far as both employment and mainstreaming and things like that.
Okay, well, what is that, Jonathan?
He's asking what your attitudes are towards, I think, mainstreaming. You're quite faint, caller, but I think that's the question. The way that blind people are educated today, most are mainstreamed, of course.
Yes, of course. Okay. I certainly had different feelings, several years ago about mainstreaming. I thought that it was everything that exactly what we needed to be mainstream. As I've grown older and more mature and more seasoned about these things, I think I probably feel now that there definitely should be some way of getting some individual skill, some individual schooling, such as what happens at a school for the blind early on, and then maybe mainstreaming later. But I guess my fear would be, and I certainly don't know, and people who are listening out there who did come up through just normal public school would know. I don't know what the learning curve is, or how. It seems like to me that if I was thrown into fourth or fifth grade in just public school, that I would want to be very good at my skills of braille and typing and a whole lot of other things so that I could keep up. I certainly would not want to expect public schools to be able to teach me braille or teach me a lot of things, because I don't know if the teacher should be responsible for that. I don't know that they are trained to take care of a lot of that. I just believe it's kind of like maybe the way I felt about going on to college. You got to be trained and ready, and I guess I feel that way about mainstreaming. I think it's better, certainly, if you're able to go home at night and back to your family with, you know, every night. That was that's certainly the best of all worlds. But I don't know how hard it is to keep up in public school if you're totally blind or any other disability. I'm not really probably aware enough to even comment on that. So why am I coming out?
Someone asked, that's why. ACB
Radio
Mainstream.
Yeah, that's good.
We've got another call for you, Ronnie. Hello there. You're on the air. Well, there you go. You see, people are just so tongue-tied. Let's just see what we can do with all of these calls that we have here. And if you are thinking about calling, you may like to hang in a little while because we've got quite a few calls, and that call appears to have gone and left us for another. And so we'll just deal with that. And what I need is somebody to sit here and push buttons on a day like this, because we just got so many calls coming in. And we'll get to them as quickly as I can. I appreciate those of you who are hanging in there and waiting your turn. Let's see, we have one from area code 706 that I believe is next in the queue, as we say in New Zealand. Hello to area code 706. You have a question for Ronnie.
Hi there, Ronnie. This is Joe, N4ZWX in Dalton, Georgia.
Oh, Joe, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. The FCC just about gave me the tail end of the alphabet there on my hand call. But anyway, sure enjoy the show thus far, Jonathan. I will say that. You were mentioning something about crossovers. It seems like I would have thought crossover would be a good thing, because that would mean more people would get exposed to a given artist.
Exactly.
Interesting thought, you know, that people think it's a bad idea.
Well, it's I think probably it's the whole thing at radio that feels such as a very despised term, crossover. If you're on one chart, you're not really supposed to be on another chart. If there have been quite a few examples, if for some reason you start with a record that gets played on country radio, and for some reason you get discovered by some other form of radio, rock and roll or adult contemporary or whatever, and you start to be played somewhere else, it's amazing that the country radio will say, aha. So, you know, you're doing real well on the pop charts, so why are we playing you? So there's a tremendous amount of that going on, and it's more from the radio side and actually from any side that makes any sense, Joe. It's like you're saying, it feels like that, you know, if you were going to cross over, you know, that would be good for everybody, because it gives a way to get your music heard by such a larger audience.
Yeah, because, for example, there's a song that Lionel Richie did called My Love, and no, I'm sorry, not My Love, although he sounds like Kenny Rogers in that song just a little bit, but he's got another song called Stuck on You that you could play that on a country station, and I think nobody would even bat an eye that was listening to it.
That's right.
Because it has if you've ever heard the song, I don't know if you've heard it or not.
Yeah, I know the song, yeah. And it was played on country radio.
Is it my imagination, or does it have a country flavor to you?
Sure. Yeah. Sure it does. And it was an actual effort to get entry into country radio, and it definitely worked for Lionel Richie.
It's interesting that he'd want to do that, because he's done, you know, that's a far cry from Brick House, for example.
So, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, it's maybe it's just to see if it can be done.
Yeah, I guess you want to hear Brick House played on a country station.
Well, that would work today.
No, oh, really? and one other thing real quick, I see that's why you're not on the Window Eyes, your voice is not on the Window Eyes 4.0 CD, because you're using Windows 2000 now. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, I understand that that they do have Window Eyes for 2000.
I'm waiting.
It should be coming along any day.
Yeah, because I've used 2000. It's got a little flakiness with JAWS, but I mean, it's not terribly It's not the worst thing I've ever done.
So that's good news. So you actually do use 2000?
No, I have. I've got somebody gave me a copy of it, and it's got, you know, it's got the book and certificate and all that stuff, so it's not a bootleg or anything.
Yeah.
Take heart from that. Thank you very much for phoning in, Joe. I appreciate it.
Yep, I'm going to get off and boot into the real operating system now.
Yes.
Which is Windows 98?
Well said.
Okay. Thanks a lot,
Thanks, Joe. Bye-bye. Hi, Marlena.
Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Marlena.
Hello, Ronnie. It's nice to meet you.
Hey, it's a pleasure to finally meet you.
Well, actually, that's what I was going to say. Now, you're just taking the words out of my mouth.
Well, you sound so good on ACB radio.
Oh, well, thank you.
And Blind Spot is just, the show is just it is incredible.
Oh, well, cool. Actually, when I found out Jonathan was interviewing you, I sent him a note. I said, you scooped me. but it's nice to hear you on ACB radio, and you know, everyone is sort of calling and saying how much they've enjoyed your music, and so I'm going to do that because it's true. And
bless you.
Your music helped me through an extremely difficult period of my life about 15 or so years ago, and you know, we've never met, but because of what I was able to take from your music, I count you very much as a friend, and I always wanted the opportunity to say that to you. So,
well, thank you. I'm honored that you'd say that.
And you know what? I actually have a question, and I'm sort of a little hesitant to ask this question because it's a bit of a serious question. But, you know, oftentimes in the blind community, we and I include myself in this, we tend to really sort of give a hard time to blind folks who've gotten successful. And we tend to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, he does this, or, you know, so-and-so couldn't have done it if they didn't have, you know, this or that. And my question is, in the beginning of your career, did you encounter difficulty from within our own community?
You know, I can't really say that I did. I did not have very much contact with the blindness community at that time. I made the decision to leave college and try to give it a run in the music business. I think total credit to at that time the people who were around me, and most credit to my wife Joyce, because I was not in contact with a lot of people from, say, my schoolmates or anybody from any of the consumer organizations. I was not in contact with anybody, so I almost kind of disassociated myself from all those people, and I did not do that purposely. It just seemed like it was just the way it happened.
Yeah.
And then eventually, you know, when I finally started getting some things to start to happen through a lot of hard work, as we all know, you know, then I ran into to folks from the NFB and the ACB, and you know, when I'd go to New York, I'd drop by over at the American Foundation for the Blind, and all those people were tremendously encouraging that I ran into. They were very supportive and encouraging, and basically you know, just said, good for you, you know. And
yeah.
If you're able to do that, then rock on.
Well, I'm delighted to hear that, because I really think that it is a thing that the community is evolving away from. I think we're a whole lot more supportive of each other than we might have been, you know, some number of years ago. So I'm delighted to hear that.
This whole thing with the internet, and especially because of ACB radio, feels like to me that
we all just know each other.
Yeah, we're getting to know each other, and we're getting to to share what's going on in our lives, and yeah. and it feels like it's bringing us together in a positive way.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful question,
and
Melanie. Thank you so much. I've really got to move on because you know how long the wait's
bye-bye.
Been for you.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Marlena.
Thanks, Ronnie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that girl can sure take a hint. This is Blind Line on ACB Radio Mainstream. Hello, thank you for waiting.
Hello, Jonathan, and hello, Ronnie.
Hello.
This is TC. This is the most exciting thing that's happened to me since I met Doc Watson.
Oh, God bless you.
Oh, yeah, really? I met him at a concert one time. I was learning to play the guitar, and my guitar teacher took me, and his car happened to be next to ours, and we spoke for a few minutes.
Yeah, you over in North Carolina?
Yes, I sure am.
Yeah, where in North Carolina?
Well, I don't really like to give that out over the internet.
What are you close to?
Well, I'm kind of not too far from Greensboro.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I trust you, but it's just a lot of other people are listening, you know.
I hear you.
And do you have a question for Ronnie?
Anyway, I was wondering, Ronnie, how in the world do you write all them songs? I've tried to think of songs in my head, but I'm no good at it. They just kind of, I don't know, slip away. If I think of something, it's not good, and if it sounds like it might be kind of good, it slips away from me in 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, one of the things that's happened, I guess because of living in Nashville, as you know, I certainly work as a songwriter, but I've never been that successful as a songwriter. And it seems like as soon as I bring a song that I've worked on to a recording session, there's always somebody that has a song that's better than mine. That there's a tremendous amount of songwriters around Nashville that if you're looking for a great song, I'm in the right place because there are a lot of great writers here, and I've been fortunate to meet a lot of them, and if I'm looking for something, I know where I can go, you know, around Nashville to find a great song. Yeah, you can kind of tell some of these writers, you know, what you're looking for, and you know, 2 or 3 days later, they'll bring you a song. So
it's really, you know, I tried to think of some just off the top of my head, and the tune just kind of gets away from me.
Oh, well, songwriting is it's definitely an art, and it's something that it's not something that everybody can do. There are people who are definitely talented and great crafters of that art, and then they survive or they move on to something else, and the good ones seems like have all wound up in Nashville. And you can say about L.A. and New York, that's another place where a lot of talented people congregate to those cities. But and I believe still that Nashville has more talented songwriters than any other place in the world.
Thank you very much for the questions, TC. I really appreciate your call.
Okay, well, it's been nice talking to you, Ron. It really has. I hope to get to communicate with you again sometime.
I'd love that.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
How are you off for time, Ronnie? How long were you planning on staying with us?
I'm fine, Jonathan. Okay. You just go ahead, man. Whatever feels good.
You just let me know if you've got other things to do.
No, I don't.
Area code 919, hello, you're speaking with Ronnie Millsap, and thank you for waiting so long.
Hello, Jonathan and Ronnie, this is Kevin from Raleigh calling.
Hey, Kevin.
Hello there. Got to get my cheap plug in. Raleigh is the home of the country's largest blind bowling league, the Raleigh Outlaws.
Oh.
So, in any case, and also don't get me started on Windows 2000, I'm being forced to learn it.
Oh, is that a painful experience?
Yeah, I'm finding it somewhat, but I'll manage through it. Question I have, and I would understand if you would be hesitant to answer it. I'm sure you're well aware there's this great furor of, shall we say, getting music off of the Internet. And I was just curious as to what your thoughts were on that.
Well, you know, as probably like you, Kevin, and everybody else. I mean, I had Napster on my machine, and that whole thing of the technology being able to look for a song and bring it right, you know, on your computer and play it, or, you know, use it in something, you know, if you're doing something at the house and you want that, you know, playing in the background or some little things that you're recording or production you might be doing. I say it's a great way to, great tool, Napster. But, you know, as a recording artist, I've got, I guess, different feelings about it, because if as long as the artists are the writers and the artists, the publishers, the producers are getting paid, I feel like it's fine. I don't feel like that under the structure that they had going that I don't think anybody was getting paid. I don't know what your line of work is, Kevin, but I don't think you want to work for free. You need something to take care of, you know, the bills and to take care of your life. And I don't, it's the artists and the people who are working in the music business should not work for free. This music should not be available for free. As much fun as that might be, it is, I just said it as a computer user, that is a lot of fun. I mean, I love to download, you know, Dancing Queen or something and be able to play it here in a few minutes. That's great. But I don't think that, it's kind of like, I just believe there's going to be another way, now that we've worked our way into a place where I feel like finally we're going to be represented. It's going to be some kind of common ground where that we can do exactly what you would like to do, to download your music and find some way to make sure that everybody gets paid the royalty that they deserve.
Okay.
We put a lot into all this, and finally now I think we're getting to that point, Jonathan, where, you know, there's going to be a way now that everybody will be covered and we'll still be able to have this wonderful technology that we love.
Did you have a quick follow-up to that, Kevin? Yes?
Well, I tend to agree with that. And just real quick, I also know some of the stories of the school where you went, Bonnie, and I'll have to send you a specific one, Jonathan, to give you an idea of some of the atmosphere there.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Kevin?
Yep. Hello?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, well, it was pretty tough. So where are you, Kevin?
I'm in Raleigh.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. you certainly would know then.
Yeah, I never attended there, but I do know some of the folks that work there and attended. And like I said, Jonathan, I'll send you a story of a specific gentleman that you might actually know, Ronnie.
Well, I bet you I do.
We should probably talk about that one week on A Blind Line, Kevin, is talk about schools for the blind and the whole culture and discipline. It could be a good topic for an open forum one week.
It's certainly growing up, learning how to fight, don't you?
Yeah, well, I never attended, and I was mainstreamed all the way. So.
Yeah, well, that probably was a positive experience for you, and that's good.
Yeah, it was. Great show as usual, Jonathan.
Thank you, Kevin. Great question.
Listening.
And thanks for calling in.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I must also apologize to Marlena for not asking how she was after the Seattle-Washington earthquake, but I see we have another call from Seattle. So good evening to you, and hopefully things are okay with you after the earthquake.
Hi, am I on?
You are.
Yes, you are.
Hi.
What's your name?
Hi, sorry about that. I was listening to my computer. This is Sue, amateur.
Yeah.
And we're okay after the earthquake. We were a little shook.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty dodgy experience, but I'm glad you got through it okay, Sue, and thanks for holding so long.
That's okay. Love your music, Ronnie, and I'm going to kind of ask you a stickler question. Or let me start with a good one first. I came in a little late. Can you give your email site again, or if you've not given it, I know you, not email, I'm sorry, your website.
Yes, it's www.ronniemilsap.com.
Okay, just like it should be, right?
Right, right.
Okay. And one of the pet peeves I have as a blind person is, you know, oftentimes they'll have commercials that say, if you want to order this or that, here's the number. Well, I don't know whether you know this, but the album that you've folks are selling through cable TV, the number comes up as a print number. So I'd love to order your album, but they don't tell me the number to call.
Yeah, that's amazing. Somebody else has mentioned that just recently, and I think I need
to save my money.
find some way to be a little bit more on top of all that, because you're right. That number should be given out where you could hear it.
Well, it's amazing. You know, so many things will say, if you want to know about earthquake preparedness, call, and then they'll flash the number up on the screen. So
yeah. A lot of help that's going to be for us, isn't it?
Got that right.
Yeah.
So does your website have ordering for your latest album, the one that has the 41?
Yeah, it sure does.
Okay. Well, it's a good show, and I know there's tons of people holding, so I'll blitz off.
Thanks so much, Sue, and thanks for holding.
Pleasure to talk with you, Sue.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
No, actually, Ron, I did have an email question come in from Stacey Robinson, who's in Tennessee, before the program, and Stacey says that, I'm not sure, in New Zealand, Stacey's always a lady's name, but I know there are some males called Stacey in America, so I don't know what the world's coming to. But anyway, whatever the gender is, Stacey says that the website is a bit difficult. Stacey's using JFW 3.7 and says that sometimes there are problems in accessing ronniemillsap.com. I must say, I went there yesterday and didn't have any problem, but are you conscious? Do you make sure that your web people design it in an accessible way?
Absolutely. I certainly do. And I've had no problems anywhere that I've been, you know, getting on. The access has always been there. Unlike, say, I'm sorry, I should not say this, but I will anyway, WSMonline.com, which occasionally has, you know, the servers down. I've yet to find that a problem, you know, where we are, and it is accessible, and it does work with JAWS 3.7 and the WISE.
I was quite impressed with the forum, because a lot of those web-based forums where fans can come and talk don't work too well, but I had no problem going in there yesterday and reading some of the posts and things.
Yeah, it's you know, getting on there a few times a week and answering those questions, I can do that, and I do.
Yeah, it's a great site, so ronniemillsap.com if people want to check that out. Hello to area code 937, who has also had a very long wait.
Yes, I certainly have. How are you this evening?
Just fine. Who is this?
Good. My name is Shirley, and I'm in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, Shirley, hi.
I appreciate this. I met you several years ago, but I don't expect you to remember it. It was at the Dayton Hamvention, and I also attended your concert a couple years ago at the Dayton Hamvention. It was terrific.
Oh, well, thanks. Boy, that's coming up soon, too.
Yes, it certainly is. Are you going to come back again?
I hope to. I don't know if I can this year, but I certainly know that I will when I can.
Oh, that'll be great. I certainly hope you can. Well, very good. I wanted you to know that, and I was also curious if you are on any certain frequencies at any specific times, or if it's possible to set up something to talk with you on the air. It would really be neat to be able to chat with you on ham radio at some point.
Oh, well, thank you, Shirley. Thank you. I don't, you know, and it's Jonathan and I kind of touched on this yesterday when I made the introductory call to him about Blind Line, that a lot of ham radio operators have moved to computers, and maybe they're not on as often as they used to be. But there's still nothing like the fun of getting on 75 meters, so I guess that's still probably my favorite band.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you hang out there normally?
Oh, around 3898.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll have to look for you sometime. I'm not on HF a whole lot, but I am licensed for it. So maybe we'll find you on there one of these days. By the way, also, have you had a chance to look at the Braille Light Millennium yet?
I have not. I certainly haven't. I've read about it, you know, from the little things that I get from email, but I have not.
Well, I had the opportunity to look at it a couple weeks ago, and it's pretty interesting. You know, it does allow you to do email and so on and so forth. I don't think they're going to have Internet capability from it, but there is certainly going to be email capability there. So that will be real nice, and it has these flash memory cards that you'll be able to use.
Right.
You know, to store things, and
It's still a proprietary operating system.
That's my understanding, yes.
Yeah.
So that's the only disadvantage, of course, of it. But and I'm just starting to work with JAWS and all that and have really been enjoying ACB radio the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
I wanted to let you know that. This is a whole new world.
Isn't this fun?
This is neat. This is neat stuff.
You can tune into this anywhere in the world.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's great. I just wanted to tell Jonathan what a great job he does with this. I have really been thoroughly enjoying it.
Well, thanks, Shed. And it's a team effort. And you deserve, if there were Grammy Awards given for one of the most patient people, you and a number of the people on the board right now would win them. So I appreciate you waiting so long.
Well, thank you so much. I sure appreciate it. And it was great to have the opportunity to talk with Ronnie there as well. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Shirley. And it's my pleasure.
All right. Have a good evening.
You thanks. Too.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ronnie Millsap is my guest. This is Blind Line on ACB Radio Mainstream. Hello, area code 256. Thank you for waiting so long.
Hello, Jonathan. This is Chris.
Hi there.
Collins. Ronnie, I wanted to, first of all, this is Chris Sales, AC4CS. Why not add another amateur to the mix?
Yes.
And I wanted to, first of all, say I agree with you about the computer. That a lot of the amateurs have switched from the HF sidebands to email.
Yeah, that's true.
You can send an email in 30 seconds, whereas by the grace of God, you might make the contact in Japan.
That's true.
Which incidentally I have, but I haven't received a QSL card yet. But I wanted to get your opinion on the no code license. How you felt about that. I have mixed emotions on it, being a volunteer examiner, but and being a blind amateur as well. But I just wanted to get, you know, your opinion on that, if I could.
I probably, like you, Chris, have mixed feeling about it. I think anything we can do to encourage people to get into amateur radio, we need to do. And I guess the code holds a lot of people back. And we can say, you know, I had to go through the code. Everybody needs to go through the code. But how important is that in communication today? I have to ask that question. And my CW skills are certainly not what they used to be. And I'd be hard pressed to get on and do a QSO buzzing along the way I could do 30 years ago. So I don't know, Chris. Is code that important in communication today?
Well, I know the military has dropped it.
Yeah. And, so that ought to tell us something.
Yeah. No. I guess it just goes back to where the old saying is, I had to do it, you know, others have to do it.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think maybe the better way is to let's get people involved in some way. And if,
right.
That should not be a stumbling block in the way of folks getting into amateur radio. If it's not relevant anymore, then let's move on. I think I'm kind of glad that if I was going to take my general test, do you still have to pass the code for a general now? No?
I'm trying to think. I was hoping Jonathan would get asked the hard question tonight.
I'm sure you do. You know, if you wanted to get an extra class, I'm sure you're still going to have to pass the code.
Yeah, I believe you do. And probably, of course, there is a Technician Plus, but it's not, you know, allowing you HF. You're not allowed HF privileges.
Yeah.
And I'm getting tongue-tied, but I've been on radio before. But I think you do. I think you do have to pass a general a code test. But I don't. Now, I'm all in favor of the waiver.
I always felt it. I mean, it was interesting. I remember trying some programs. You've probably done this, Chris. You know, from your computer, rather than actually send the code, just type it in and let it. You know, and the program will actually send the CW for you.
I done some of that.
And then, you know, get the information back the same way. It receives the CW and it puts it up on the Braille display, or with the voice synthesizer, and you know. I would be hard pressed to sit down with a keyer or, you know, or see some sending device and in front of a modern transceiver and sit there and do a CW contact. Now, there are folks who absolutely love that. They just thrill in the whole thing of CW. You know, you run into folks. There's a good friend of mine, Emery Gordy, here in town, who's a fine record producer, produced Patti Loveless. He's also married to Patti, but they make great records. And he's a CW nut. He's just absolutely loves it. Just gets on just for the thrill of the whole thing with CW. And he can copy real fast in his head. And just some folks just really have a love for that kind of thing.
Maybe he could produce some of his songs.
I'm not so sure that it's that important. In communications day.
I tell you what I've done, and I'll say this real quick, and I'll get off. But the biggest thing I done was I had a shortwave receiver, and I went down and listened to the ship to shore stations, because as you know on the general coverage transceivers you can pick those up on 4 and 8 megs.
Yes, sir.
I went down and listened to their CW sending. And they sent around 18, 20 words a minute. And I had already taken the general. And I got to where I could copy up to 12 and 13. So I thought, I'm not going to go through the tape. So I'm going to listen to the ship to shore. And I'll tell you why I've done that. You can memorize a tape after a while and know exactly what it's going to send. On these, you can't memorize it. You don't know what they're going to send next.
That's right.
I got to where I could copy up to 22 words a minute, and I went down and took my extra class and just flabbergasted my mother, and all the VEs in there were just staring at me. Matter of fact, everybody in the room had stopped taking their test and had watched to see if I was copying the code. So it was an exciting experience.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for calling in, Chris, and it's always good to flabbergast your mother from time to time. I highly recommend it.
No, don't do that too often, Tom. You could get the repercussions from that. Talk to you later, and you have a good one here.
Thanks a lot,
thanks
Chris.
Thanks very much, Chris. Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Steve, good evening to you, and thank you for waiting.
No.
Hello, Steve.
Oh, my goodness. I think, hello, Jonathan. Hello, Ronnie.
Hi, Steve.
I'm in New York, and I'm one of the army of shoutcasters that's involved in the ACB Radio Interactive Project. I've done a few hours of country music shoutcasting, and never do I let a chance go by to play at least two or three of your records on my show.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
I'm not going to tell you where I got them from. I think we had this conversation already this evening. We won't go there. I actually do have three of your albums here, but the songs that I played were somewhere from them, and some were obtained, I will freely admit, through other means, but I do intend to pick up that 40 number ones off of your website. I didn't even know that was available.
Yeah, there you go. You got them off Napster, didn't you?
One or two songs. One or two songs.
That was interesting. You know, I remember when we released this 40 number one hits, the guy with the head of the company and two guys that I was talking with about this said, you know, that all of these songs are... they're all available on Napster. Folks, anybody can go up there and get any of these songs for free. And I said, well, what is that going to mean to this project? And they said, well, I think it's going to be fine. But it's just interesting that, you know, if these particular 40 songs, that they're already up there.
Yeah, they're there, but, well...
I don't know about you, but MP3 is one thing. You know, it's good as you can claim that it sounds. My problem is, you know, I don't think any of that sounds as good as what you get when you bring a CD home.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
And so, I might get some things to just listen through or whatever, but if I'm really serious about something, I'm going to go buy the CD.
Same here. But it's good for lo-fi shoutcasting, good for low-band retransmission work. And then, you know, you decide what to do with it after that.
There you go.
Anyhow, I have a couple of things. I've been writing down questions all day. I could do a three-hour interview on stuff alone. But I promise to limit it to one question. And that is, a lot of us musicians and audio files and audio recorders, tone recorders and whatnot, have run up against a lot of stumbling blocks with a lot of the newer technology these days outside of the PC arena, and particularly in the MIDI world. And my question to you is, how much do you get involved with the actual MIDI work? Do you just go in and play? Do other people handle the inaccessibility for you? Are you doing any advocacy work to get some of this MIDI gear more accessible to blind folks? And maybe you could talk a little bit about that for a while.
Good question, Steve.
I know of the 95 listeners that we have at the moment, I'm sure there are some of us out there who would love to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, I'm probably at the same place you are when you're talking about a lot of these devices are inaccessible, and you know, it's always a struggle, you know, with what they claim is going to be easy. It could be that it's just one little quirky thing that makes it not easy for us. But I do have to have help. If I'm really doing a serious project and the clock is running and money is being spent, I usually have to have some help to make sure that we can keep rolling. And those little MIDI questions that you're talking about, they seem to always come up, and I can't say that I would actually, you know, just be able to run all that stuff by myself.
Well, have you had any luck with contacting the companies and getting them to help you out with at least text versions of manuals or some help on the operating system for some of these machines?
I will say that to me, the friendliest, and you know, and I have had contact with the Yamaha products that I endorse because I just believe that's the company. They've always been there. They've always been able to support anything and answer any questions that I have. Some companies are tougher. You know, I think some devices. You know, we're all not like Jim Snowbarger out there. You know, he comes off like, you know, he's probably got 19 racks of gear hooked up to the console, and no telling what in the world he's got going on up there. But most of us don't. You know, it doesn't seem like, you know, listening to him, I couldn't imagine that he would ever have a problem from anything.
But one thing you can say about Jim Snowbarger is that he cannot.
When it comes to audio production, because it's...
For all of the gear he's got, Ronnie, he can't do a good New Zealand accent imitation.
That's right.
No, you can't synthesize that.
I've found it, you know, even before the PC, there's still things that the PC seems, you know, for audio production, and it's slow. To do certain things, and I still find myself using other devices if I really am in a hurry and I need to do some two-track editing or whatever. There are quicker ways to do it than in the PC. But these processors are getting faster, and we're learning more about that blind people can actually, you know, do a lot of these things. Thanks to Jonathan and ACB Radio, we're learning, you know, able to move forward with the PC. But I find that there's still digital devices that say maybe like the Akai DR4D, which is I use it as a two-track editor. It is much faster than the PC. If you want to assemble something and throw it over there and you want to, you know, add something or chop something off or, you know, crossfade this or fade something out or, you know, those things are a whole lot quicker. On that, you hit they're dedicated buttons, and you hit delete, and you bring up, you know, what you want to delete. You mark the front and the in and the out, and boom, it's done within a second.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can't get things to delete that quick in SoundForge. It's not good. No. It's just, you know.
Not
it's,
if
as processors get faster, what about, you know, if processors get faster and all that, then in the I guess you will.
If you use the cutlass, you can do it in seconds. But that's a wonderful question, Steve. Excellent. Thank
okay.
you for holding
okay.
on.
Thank you very much for taking up I can't even talk. I'm so excited. Thank you very much for taking time to speak with us. And you're a consummate professional, and I hope to hear a lot more from you in the future.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. And good luck up there in New York, man.
Thank you, sir. Jonathan, give me another country show so I can play some more of his music, man.
You sound like one of those wonderful Starstruck fans. I expect you to come on and say, oh, my gosh, is it really you?
Well, I almost did that. When you put me on, you took me by surprise. I went, oh, my God, it's me. I'm on.
It is. Thank you very much. Great questions.
Have a good evening.
Again,
thank
bye-bye
you,
now.
Steve. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Area code 615, hi there.
Hello there, everybody. This is Michael Killian, K4MFK. I am also right here in Nashville.
Michael, how are you?
All right. I actually went to one of your concerts back about 1974.
Oh, Lord, when?
74.
Oh, goodness.
This was out in Long Beach, California.
Yeah.
This was a package show you had with Charlie Pride. I specifically remember one comment you made. You were telling the audience that you had this great introduction you wanted to give everybody, but you couldn't use it because Charlie Pride walked all over your Braille copy.
There you go. Somebody stepped on it.
Yeah. it was something else. But sometime, Ronnie, you and I ought to try and get together on 2 meters.
That'd be great.
Maybe 667 sometime.
Okay. On 14667?
Yeah.
Okay.
And was there any other question you had?
Not at the moment. If we can figure out a way to arrange a schedule. I'm not sure how we could do it. How about maybe right after the show, around 9 o'clock, a little after 9?
Well, he may well feel that he wants to rest his weary throat, but it might just be one of those things where you have to, strike it lucky one day.
There you go. I have a lot of folks here at the house tonight, and I probably won't go to the ham room after the show. I'm fortunate my son Todd is over here and his family, and he's my production manager on the road, and happens to be over here this evening.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
Along with some friends. But 14667, I'm on that repeater some, and I'll look for you, Michael.
Okay.
What's your call?
K4MFK.
K4.
MFK.
Okay, I got it.
Call.
I got it.
And it was interesting, when I heard your call first mentioned on American Country Countdown, I figured out an easy way to remember it.
There you go.
Yeah, the way I remember the W comes before the KCG.
Okay.
A weird way of doing it, but it works.
Thanks for calling,
Michael.
And I hope you get lucky sometime.
Okay, bye. Okay.
We appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're speaking with Ronnie Millsap, and in the normal course of events, we wrap it up at the top of the hour, and I suspect we should probably do that, because you've got to look after that voice of yours. Let's see how many...
Oh, it's fine.
We'll see how many calls we can get through between now and then. Hi there, thank you for waiting.
Hi, is it me?
It is you!
Hi, it's Maureen from Berkeley. Hello, Jonathan and Ronnie.
Hi there.
Maureen?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. Well, the love of my life is independent, non-commercial radio. So the questions I'd like to ask you come perhaps from that place a bit, okay? I wanted to find out, you said that you grew up with bluegrass, listening to bluegrass. Have you ever done any straight-up bluegrass?
You know, I've never actually recorded any. I mean, I've certainly done it, yeah. And you're right, I did grow up on a lot of bluegrass, country, gospel. All of that is indigenous to the Smoky Mountains, to that area. And my dear friend Ricky Skaggs has got this current project out. My wife just came by and hit me over the head with, what was that, a newspaper? Because I didn't participate on this current album, I probably should do some more of that. It just happens right now the projects that I'm working on are not bluegrass, but yeah, you're right. I love it.
It would sure be nice to hear you do that at some point. And I also
that's very popular right now. You know, bluegrass is kind of the rage, right? You know, Dolly has had success doing that. You know, there's quite a few. Like I said, Ricky Skaggs, he had stepped out of mainstream country and started his own record company, and is doing quite well with that. So that's very popular, bluegrass, and it's amazing that so many young people have learned this and they continue to make it better.
Absolutely, lots of people going back to their roots.
Yeah.
So my other question would be, you talked about the positive side of crossover and the whole commercial aspects of this, but I was wondering, could you talk a bit about the compromises you might have had to make in terms of what you're recording and marketing and so on, especially perhaps earlier on in your career?
Well, when I first came to Nashville, the big compromise I think that I made was to give total focus to becoming, involved in the country music field, which meant that I had to just start from scratch, from nowhere. And I wound up getting an audience with the head of RCA Records here in Nashville, and I had some things that I could play, and I got a contract at RCA. But I did not have any kind of track record as a country singer, so I had to develop some kind of an image, some kind of a career, some kind of a record presence, and it took a while to do that. It took several years to actually get there, because the first records came out in 1973, and I went that year. You know, about playing with the Charlie Pride show, and then in 74 when I started my own show, 74, 75, and actually did not have that first crossover record that you're talking about until 1977. So for 4 years I was trying to build a career in country music, mainstream country music, and it took a while to do that. But the compromise is, at least I would say, to try to stay in one place and have focus to make that happen. To me, that was a huge compromise, because I have so many different musical interests that I wanted to be able to address all those interests in music, and I could not do that during that four-year period. I actually had to just stay on track and make all that happen, and just work it day by day in the recording studio, make the records, and that was the big compromise.
Great questions. Thank you for calling in, Maureen. I've got to move on because the calls are stacking up.
No problem.
Okay, thanks
a
lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Hello there. Thank you for waiting so long. You're speaking with Ronnie Millsap.
Ronnie Millsap, what an honor to speak with you. Mike C. here from Green Bay.
Hey, Mike.
Mike Capel here. I recognize your name as far as country music and as far as internet email lists is concerned.
Oh, that's great.
You have a question, Mike?
I've got a question for you. Yes, I do. The question for you, Ronnie, is now that you said that you might be releasing an album, do you think you're going to use the olden day technology and bring back the old times, or are you going to use good old SoundForge and Cakewalk and use the newer technology?
Well, I guess if I'm going to actually go record something, I'll be down in a major studio here in Nashville. I can do some things at home, and I would bring it into SoundForge. I guess that would be a great option. But the mix of today's technology, but yet retain the fun of the music. I probably would say right here as I'm talking to you, Mike, that maybe I'm not in tune to some of the current technology, in that modern record production a lot of times will lean on and tend to accentuate things like pitch correction on vocals and time correction on different things. So there's a lot of production techniques that they use in Pro Tools, which is the the system that they most of the engineers around Nashville use. And man, it's amazing the manipulation that can be done. It can make any of us sound like stars on record. I mean, if you can sing a little bit, man, you can be a singing star with the technology that's available right now. But I think the main thing is, you know, still to have something musically ready to go. And I don't know, as far as, you know, how I'd record it, I don't do a whole lot of things at my home studio, except just the hobby things that we all love to do, you know, the radio, the old radio shows, or the home production, and the things that you're doing. And as I'm listening to Mr. Jonathan Mosen, you know, on ACB radio, I'm finding out you can do a whole lot more than I ever realized you can with the computer.
Except wash the dishes. Let's go to another one. Area code 804, good evening, and thank you for waiting.
Hi, Jonathan and Ronnie. This is Dave from Brookneal, Virginia. I'm a radio amateur, as you are, Ronnie. N2 AM is my call, and you have a special place in my heart, because when I started in the broadcasting industry, your song Smoky Mountain Rain was peaking on the country singles charts, and the first radio station I ever worked at, we played that to death.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Thank you.
And a question for you regarding trends in the country music field. One thing I've noticed comparing, let's say, the music of the 70s to what is out today, it seems a lot of country is leaning much more toward mainstream pop or rock than what I would call the traditional country. What is your perspective on that as a person who's actually in the country music industry?
I think that today's generation is making the country music that they want. We are also, you know, moved and so touched by everything that goes on, and you know, folks are listening to so much that you know, you feel like that there are elements of pop music in country music today. You listen to Shania Twain. How's that different than Britney Spears and a lot of the other pop music out there? I just think today's generation, they're making today's country music, and they're making the input. And if to say that it's not the country that it was 20 years ago, of course it's not. But if you want to be part of it, you can be if you make the records. It's just we're moving on to a different place. And I guess the target audience for country music right now is from 18 to 22. And that's what we're making the records for. I'm not 18 or 22 anymore, so I don't know how qualified I am to address this. But I think, you know, there's still something that comes along every now and then, a great, great song, or something to come along and knock you out that you hear on the radio. So as long as that still happens, I think there's always a chance that any of us that have been here doing this a long time can still do it.
Area code 660, thank you for waiting. You're speaking with Ronnie Millsap.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Dennis. How are you doing?
Hi there.
Hey, Dennis.
Hi. My question for you, Ronnie, is do you work with the people who, I know you have a lot of on your staff, and especially those who go on the road with you, do you work with them to so that they know how to work with a blind person or how to lead a blind person, or do they pretty much know that?
Yeah, they do know that, Dennis, that these people who work with me are usually people that I've known for a long time, or maybe if it's somebody new to our team, and we have a chance to be around them for a while and find out how all that's going to work out. But I'm very fortunate to have a team of people around me that really understand exactly what I'm looking for, and I'm pretty diligent about finding the right folks to fit the position, you know, of that whole thing of going out on the road. And I only tour unfortunately right now in North America, so I tour all over the United States and Canada, and I guess that mainly is because the international travel, and Jonathan and I were talking about this yesterday, that Charlie Pride had been in New Zealand just recently playing a tour there, and I think that the artists that make a commitment to do international travel, more of us should do that than international touring. But travel is difficult for someone who doesn't see. And I must say it's a difficult issue, and it has its own set of challenges. I certainly love going a lot of places, but people are saying, yeah, you went to California, you went to L.A., you went to San Antonio. They always want to know, did you go down on the Riverwalk, or did you do this? Unfortunately, a lot of times we just fly into town or ride into town on the tour bus, and you go to the hotel, you go to the gig, and you play, and then you leave town, and you don't really get a chance to visit because you're just moving on.
Now, in terms of the logistics of all of this, when you're making a grand entrance onto the stage, do you have someone prior
yes.
to the concert show you around the stage, or are you led on? How does that work?
Yeah, I go to the sound check, and panicky about the sound, like a lot of us are, and I check the distances on stage. Because I'm not going to sit at the piano all night. I could, but I just don't want to. And so I check things out, and then we usually have somebody that's designated part of my show that I will come on. Right now there's a lady that sings with our shows, an incredible singer. Her name is Rhonda Hampton, and I'll just walk on with her. When they announce me, you can try to make a deal about coming on all by yourself, but there's every live performance venue is different, and I don't think it's wise to try to do everything by yourself. There's certain things you need to realize that it's better served to get some help to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So I come on with Rhonda, and then I go to the piano and at the show time, and it works fine because I have checked it all out in sound check before the show.
Area code 510. Thank you for holding. You're speaking with Ronnie Millsap.
Hello, Mike Gorman here in San Leandro, California.
Hi, Mike.
And hello, Ronnie. You and I have a mutual friend, Gay Stell.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you still, is he still with you? I don't think he is, but do you still keep in touch with him?
I certainly do. I've talked with him this week. He's in Myrtle Beach.
Right. He's left me a message, and I just never get. He's one of those people who says he's going to call me, but he never gets around to it, but I know.
Well, he certainly will, I'm sure.
I know he will, and I knew him since I lived in L.A. But
yeah.
My question for you also was, I saw you on stage, and in fact, I went to see you because Jay got me a pass. And I was there when you were doing the sound check and everything you described was just right. I was in Chico, California. It was about 4 years ago.
Sound check is important for me because that's the time that you're going to figure out any problem that you're going to have. And I was even crazy doing I don't know why, that the blind person wants to jump on top of the piano. But I just used to do that a lot because, I'd get fired up about something and I thought it would be, somewhere 25 years ago, I thought it would be fun to do, so I just started doing that a few times, and it was just a show of excitement. It was a show of electricity and appreciation for what the audience was doing. It's just another way of expressing some feeling about all that. So
right.
I had to. The Yamaha folks, they always had the same piano out there, and it was pretty well set, so, I'd jump on top of the thing, jump over on the other side. Anything for show business, right, Mike?
Absolutely. But it sounds like, do you still do
he
that?
He walks, he talks, he crawls on his belly like a reptile, whatever.
You don't have a guide dog, do you?
I don't, and... A lot of friends that do, Jonathan.
I was just wondering if the guide dog might jump up on the piano, too. That'd be quite a hoot.
that would be great.
Yeah, wouldn't it? We've got time for two more calls, so we really can't have anyone else call in. 480, hello there. You must turn your radio down.
Well, hello there, Jonathan.
Hi there.
This is Daryl Sandro.
Hi there, we're getting a terrible echo, but if you ask your question, and then I'll have to cut you off.
I have to cut you off. very sorry about that. Daryl Shandro in U7I here in Arizona. Ronnie, I just wanted to say hi to you. You, as a successful blind person, inspired me greatly, and especially your being an amateur radio operator. And I'm sorry about the echo.
No problem. Did you have a question for Ronnie?
No, not really.
Well, I appreciate
it. We certainly thank you for calling.
Thanks very much, Daryl,
yeah,
and thanks for hanging on that long for that, and I'm sure we appreciate that. Echo, that's pretty good. Can you get that effect in the studio, Ronnie?
Yeah, that's fun. That'd be fun to think through. I'm always thinking that's reminiscent of Elvis, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Uh-huh. Should we do I'm All Shook Up to finish the program?
Absolutely.
I'm just seeing if we have one more call to deal with here, or whether I have, in fact, inadvertently... Oh, I'm sorry to that call. I cut the wrong call off. That's nasty, and they've been waiting for a while. But that's where we're just about set to wrap it up. So it's been an amazing couple of hours. I had so many questions of my own to talk to you about, but I'm really pleased that so many people got the chance to speak with you, because I think apart from the fact that you've made such a contribution musically, and everybody knows a few Ronnie Millsap songs, but I think you're an inspiration to blind people. Have you got the advice, just before we go, to those people who really desperately, passionately want, in the same way that you did, to get involved in the music business? Is there any one piece of advice you'd give them?
That's a great question, Jonathan. It really is. And the music business is a lot of fun. It is just as glamorous as everybody thinks it is. I think the whole thing about it is this tremendous amount of work. And it's just as I said to you yesterday, Jonathan, I think you really do just have to love it, have such a passion for it, that that's going to be what drives you to do this. And, you know, if during the process of growing up that you have discovered that you're talented in that area, and you've had instruction and you've had training, and you want to pursue this kind of work, I mean, it certainly can be done. I had role models, people I learned from. I mean, the first time I met Ray Charles, it was a tremendous thrill for me. And I got backstage to meet him in 1963 at a concert in Atlanta, and I thought, man, you know, he can do it. If you really can't say, if he can do it, I can do it. You really can't really go there. But it's just, at least it's proof that it can be done. It's mighty hard work. I will say that. It's a tremendous amount of sacrifice and hard work. But you know, it's fun, and if you're driven to do it and you have the passion for it and you have the talent for it, then go for it.
I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this, and I know a lot of others have too. Thank you for giving up a couple of hours of your Sunday night, and I hope that we can keep in touch and that that we'll continue to hear good things. I tell you what, I think that you'd do a wonderful job doing an album of kind of the standards, like the Nelson Riddle thing that Linda Ronstadt did. I think you'd do a nice job of that.
That's interesting, Jonathan, because that is probably my top priority project right now that I'm working on, and it's a lot of fun. Thanks. I appreciate the positive feedback on that.
Oh, look forward to that. And you also have a Christmas album. I understand it didn't quite make it for 2000, but it's coming out soon. Is that correct?
Well, I've had one that's been available on RCA since I think it first came out in 1986, so it's been out there and been repackaged several times. And, you know, I need to add some new recordings to that project, and I hope to be able to do that soon.
All right, so www.ronniemillsap.com will keep everybody updated with what you're doing. And thanks again. It's just been a fantastic couple of hours. I appreciate it.
Oh, Jonathan, my pleasure, and you're the man. It's we're talking about, you know, folks that are setting new standards for blind people. I again commend you and thank you for all the things that you're doing and helping blind people achieve things that we didn't realize we could do. And I know because listening to you and hearing about your tutorials and recordings that you're doing, and believe me, I realize, you know, doing a show like Main Menu, for instance, that's a tremendous amount of work. You make it look so easy. It's not quite that easy. I'm sure. But you know, it's the same thing as a blind musician. They're always saying, you know, you make it look so easy. We're all doing the things that we love to do, and it's been a real pleasure to be here on Blind Line. I love the show, and like I said, I'm tuned in every chance that I get, and if I'm not tuned in, I'm recording it, so I will be tuned in. Thank you.
I'm having daydreams about night things in the middle of the afternoon, and while my hands make a living, my mind's home loving you. I'm having daydreams about night things in the middle of the afternoon, and every night you make my daydreams come true. In town, time slows down to a crawl. When I'm not thinking about you, I'm checking the clock on the wall. Then it's goodbye factory and hello. And there's a smile across my face, 'cause I'm back in the arms of your sweet love, where my thoughts have been all day.